Hey, y'all, I'm Cowboy Troy. Blast off with the music universe.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well. How about you?
Gosh, the year, I'm just sitting here thinking, the year you started the site, the Music Universe, was the year I started my podcast. So we've both been in media for almost exactly the same amount of time.
Yeah, it'll be 10 years in January. January 24th, 2023, to be exact. So, and I know that date too, because when I went to the dentist last, I knew they were going to give me that date for some reason as my next appointment, and sure enough, they did. So,
well, it makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Cowboy Troy, this is going to be a fun one. This is, you know, he's in with Big and Rich and all those guys from the Cowboy Mafia. I think it's called
Music Mafia.
Music Mafia. Yes. Yeah. Very cool. We did this months and months and months ago and kept holding on to it because it's such a fantastic episode to air whenever. And you're probably hearing this as we're leaving for our European trip, or more specifically, you're on your way to New York or to D.C. to meet me in New York, or to meet me in D.C. to go to New York. So
it's a lot, because I'm taking three flights before the final destination in New York for a couple days, and then we launch over to Europe for a week. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And I thought we'd kind of keep it simple and, you know, air Cowboy Troy just an audio episode today while we do all that, and let you guys still enjoy that so we can enjoy ourselves.
So here's that interview. Cowboy Troy, welcome to the Music Universe podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, thanks. How are y'all?
Oh, we're great. We're thrilled to have you.
Doing well.
And I know you were just at CMA Fest this past couple weeks ago. Where did you perform, and what was it like for you finally being back at CMA Fest after 3 years?
It was really cool to get back into Nashville and be around everybody at CMA Fest. I got a chance to do an autograph signing for my clothing sponsor at Roper Apparel, and, you know, they were nice enough to have me over there. And then after that, I went over to Redneck Riviera down on Lower Broadway and got to perform with my buddy John Rich at his bar.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I used to see you guys during the Music Mafia sessions several years ago. You guys would take over Nashville, it seemed.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all started doing that back in 99, I guess it was, in early 2000s, and we did a lot of that. I mean, it's interesting how Music Mafia got started. You know, originally, you know, half of the people in Music Mafia had record deals, and they were on their way out of those deals, and then the other half of us were desperately trying to get record deals. And so we kind of banded together and kind of relied on each other to, you know, use each other as a sounding board and writing partners and all that stuff. And, you know, just all around friends. And it kind of worked out all these years later.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. So can you take us in? I know it's been a little while. It was a while ago, but some of my favorite music from that era kind of came out of those sessions. So what was the process like for that collective, people kind of coming and going informally and creating music during those days?
You know, it's interesting how it works. You know, a lot of us were writing songs together, and others were serving as sounding boards. You know, we'd let each other hear the songs during Music Mafia nights, and people would kind of weigh in on things, you know, when they got time to do that. And it was just an opportunity to get live reaction from people with brand new songs that hadn't been played in front of anyone before. But it was always an opportunity for everybody to be creative and express themselves artistically, whether you're a singer, songwriter, rapper, interpretive dancer, you know, just art painting and things of that nature. I mean, it's just all kinds of ways for people to participate. And it was a really cool time. And I don't think it had been done before in that kind of fashion. And I don't think it's been done since that I'm aware of. You know, there have been others, I guess, that have tried to do stuff like that, and they've had success in their own right. But I mean, Music Mafia, we've been able to just kind of capture that magic, I guess.
Love it.
And you kind of defined a new subgenre of country. I would say country rap before it became what it is today. Do you consider yourself kind of a founding member of that?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting, you know, hip hop music is what I refer to it as, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and hip hop, you know, is something to the point I went and, you know, got the registered trademark for it and all that stuff because it was one of those things that I think that I was instrumental in. And, you know, there had been people, I think, who previously had maybe done a hip hop or a country rap song here and there over the years. In the early days, people would refer to it as recitations. And the recitations where they were just kind of talking over the music kind of thing in a rhythmic fashion. But, you know, people had done songs here and there in that fashion, but until we released Locomotive back in 2005 on Rayball Warner, no one else had done a full hip-hop album start to finish, all the songs that way. And I mean, that album was very unique in the fact that not only did we do that, but those were all, you know, acoustic live instruments, electric instruments. They were actual people playing the instruments. We didn't use loops or anything like that at that point on that record. So it was interesting how that album came about. And, you know, I don't think that anybody's replicated that to this point.
They went the loop direction. And to what you said about recitations, I can connect it back to, whether subconsciously or consciously on your part, I can connect it back to Charlie Daniels. You know, he was very open about, you know, I don't really have the best voice, but Devil Went Down to Georgia is mostly a recitation hit. So
it is. It is the very first one that I remember. There may have been others before then, but, you know, with, you know, Big Bad John and songs like that with Jimmy Dean and, you know, 16 Tons with Tennessee Ernie Ford. Those songs were recitations as well, but Charlie Daniels did it really fast with Devil Went Down to Georgia, and that was the first one that really kind of, you know, rung my bell a little bit, and I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I'm going to pay attention to that.
So who did you grow up listening to? I mean, who inspired, other than we talk about Charlie Daniels, but who inspired your sound growing up?
Well, if you're talking from the country standpoint, it would be Charlie Daniels, Jerry Reed, Roger Miller, you know, people like that. And, you know, from rap standpoint, it would be, you know, Run DMC, LL Cool J, you know, Eric B and Rakim. I mean, it, you know, just any number of rappers back in those days. And from the rock standpoint, if you listen to a lot of my earlier stuff, there was a lot of rock influence too. I mean, you had, you know, Metallica, you know, goodness gracious, they were awesome. You know, Megadeth, bands like that. You know, I listened to a lot of heavy stuff, so it's just kind of interesting, you know, but I also like listening to the Eagles. So, you know, it's just a hodgepodge almost.
Yeah. You got all kinds of influences in there, and you can definitely hear it too in your music, and that obviously allowed you to go on and do some television work and stuff like that. So are you currently working on any new music?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just got back this morning, about a half hour ago. I just got back the masters for three new sides that I had cut over the summer, and it's exciting to have fresh music and you know, get that ready for marketing for the fans so that they can hear it and kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting. What can you tell us about these three new songs, if anything yet?
Well, so I moved back to Texas in 2017. And since I've been back here, you know, I guess I like to think that as artists and songwriters, we tend to write and are influenced by our environment. So, you know, being back in Texas, I wanted to get more involved and back into a Texas traditional sound, a traditional country sound or a Texas country sound, and a combination of those two, because they're two different, you know, areas. But, you know, so, I mean, if you go back to 2018, I released an album called Laugh With Me. And on the Laugh With Me album, I had songs like As Long As It's in Texas and Beer Bubbles and All Hat No Cattle and Don't Drive Crunk. Those songs had a traditional kind of a mixture of traditional country and a Texas country sound. And, you know, you fast forward to 2020 and on the Galaxy, you know, project, I had put out two songs that had, there was a song called Dance Floor Romance and a song called Come See Me. And that was also more of a Texas swing traditional sound. So some of these songs that I wanted to do for this upcoming project for 2022 involved those traditional sounds and the Texas country sounds. And one of the things that I talked to the producer on these three new songs that we just got, that I just got back, there's a guy named Cameron Fulp, F-U-L-P, Cameron Fulp. And Cameron is a young cat here in East Texas. And, you know, he produced these songs. When I sat down, I talked to him and Justin, you know, the recording engineer, when I sat down and talked to them about this project, I wanted these songs to have a combination of East Texas and Fort Worth, like they were just hanging out together. And I wanted it to have that traditional sound. So these three sides that I just cut, you know, have that distinct sound. It's a really cool sound. I'm excited about it. I just got the masters for those three sides this morning. And of course I'll still do the country rap song. And because those songs are traditional, I mean, it's just traditional straight ahead country. There's no rap in those songs, but you know, there are a pocket of listeners within my listenership that like those types of songs. And so I put some on each project so that they can have something that they can gravitate towards. But I'll still do some of the, you know, hip hop and the country rap as well. You know, and I've got stuff like that already done. I just got to get a couple more of those done and, you know, get the project wrapped up. But I'm excited about this. So at least these I can send directly to country radio. And then the other stuff, the clubs, stuff I can send to the country clubs. So it provides something for everybody.
Any idea when we might hear these songs?
I think the first one I'm going to look, you know, getting sent to radio probably within the next month, I'm thinking.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, and I'll get a single to Texas Country Radio and let them listen to it. But I'll send it to everyone, you know, who's willing to listen to it. And I think that'll be an opportunity for everybody to say, oh, this is what he means. This is crazy. We weren't expecting this. And that's kind of how I like to operate, you know. And then as we get everything closer to being wrapped up, you know, there may be one or two singles that go out to radio before the project finally gets ready to be released and put out for everybody to consume it.
Do you enjoy singing straight ahead country and the country rap equally? Or is there one that sort of has your creative heart a little bit more than the other these days?
It really depends on where I'm performing. It's kind of funny. I grew up listening to all kinds of different music, so I always enjoyed doing those things. But it depends on what kind of show I get booked for. I just got a show booked coming up later in the year, and that's going to be straight ahead country rap, hip hop show, pretty much. You know, I may put a couple regular songs in it, but I know that crowd that I'm going to be playing for, and that's what they like there. You know, I just played for some folks in Maryland and, you know, I gave them a mixture of both, you know, and it kind of leaned a little heavy on the straight ahead country songs, even though they still like songs like I Play Chicken with the Train. So it just depends on the clientele for that particular show. You know, people ask me questions, you know, like, how do you figure that out? I mean, a lot of times it's a matter of reading the room and knowing where you are. I mean, there was a period of time where I got booked to play biker festivals and, you know, people, it's really interesting, you know, and I asked the guy one time, I was like, you know, what was the attraction about my music to this particular crowd? And they say, well, you do what you like, and we like that attitude about you. And I'm like, okay. And so I gave them more of the country rap mixed with metal, and even threw in some metal songs, which is kind of crazy because I've been known to do that. But like I say, I read the room, and like, you know, the bikers like it, and you know, people in certain pockets of the country, they like it when I play Ace of Spades by Motorhead, because everybody knows, you know, I like heavy metal too. And they're like, how do you draw that in? And it's like, you know, you just read the room. You read where you are, and you know, sometimes you throw a song that they're never gonna expect. And you know, one of my favorite songs to cover is a song called I Was Wrong by Social Distortion. And you know, when that song came out in 96, I think it was 96, I really enjoyed that song. And you know, all these years later, come to find out that Mike Ness, lead singer of Social Distortion, you know, big, you know, Johnny Cash fan. He loved country music. And wow. So, I mean, I didn't realize that Mike Ness was a huge Cash fan. But, you know, you start learning these things as you get in the business and you spend a lot of time. You know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like Aaron Lewis of Staind. No one ever thought when they came out and made it big that he would have this side country career too.
Yeah, and he's really doing well. He's really doing well. Country fans love being around him, love hearing his music. He's a cool cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that hip-hop sound that, mm-hmm. I mean, like I said earlier, you did it with instruments. Others are starting to do it with loops, and that's a different discussion for a different day. But it's really becoming sort of the fresh, even though it's been going on for 20-plus years, sort of the fresh sound of the moment with Jelly Roll and a bunch of these others that are starting to incorporate it. What do you think of it sort of coming to more mainstream attention now?
Well, I'll tell you, I answered a question about this on the red carpet one year. Mm. And one year I was on the red carpet, I think it was at the ACMs in Vegas. And I think it was 2012. I think it was 2012, perhaps. And I remember Stormy Warren asking me a question like similar to that on the red carpet. And I told him, I said, man, Stormy, this is really cool. You know, how do you feel about, you know, other artists and rappers coming out with country rap and all this stuff? I was like, man, it's really awesome that more and more artists are doing it, because it shows that I wasn't wrong. You know, it shows that I had something and I moved forward with it, and it showed that I was right to begin with. And I'm like, I told people, I say, there's plenty of room, you know, for all the country rappers that want to get into the business. That's great, because people go back and start looking at it. It's like, oh, he had an idea and it worked, you know, and hopefully someday, you know, during one of these award shows, there'll actually be a country rap or a hip hop category, you know, at some point. And I think that would be cool. And it's a long time coming. I mean, goodness gracious, you know, nearly 20 years later, I think that, you know, we all of us country rappers could go with a country rap category in some of these country award shows. I think that'd be really cool. But, you know, you take it and you run with it, and just be grateful that people are recognizing it as a subgenre of country music.
Oh, yeah, and you are the king of that, I would say. And looking over your Facebook page here, I see not only are you doing your own shows, but it looks like you're still teaming up with Big and Rich for some.
Yeah, I still tour with Big and Rich. I've been friends with John Rich for 29 years. I've been friends with Big Kenny for 26 years. And, I mean, we were buddies when there weren't record deals. I mean, they had record deals, and then, you know, then they got together and worked, and then I didn't have a record deal until they brought me in. I mean, it's like when there wasn't anything happening. I mean, we were all just kind of running around Nashville. They were living in Nashville, and I was driving back and forth or flying back and forth between Dallas and Nashville back in the early Music Mafia days. And, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, we've been friends ever since then, and we still are today. So, I mean, it's awesome to get a chance to play with those guys. And, you know, And when I get to do solo gigs, I get to stretch a little bit and, you know, kind of go deeper into the catalog and play songs that most people don't get to hear all the time.
Love that.
And I don't know what you've got going in your hick hop kitchen, but my God, that looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I've enjoyed cooking for a number of years, and the more I do it, the better I get, I suppose. You know, my kids don't complain. A few years ago, I started working on my own seasoning blend, my own, you know, like all-purpose seasoning. And during the shutdown of 2020, when nobody was touring, I've got a buddy here in East Texas who owns the Crazy Cajun Kitchen and Market. And my buddy Tim, you know, I called him one day just to see what he was up to. And he was telling me, he's like, well, you know, we've got stuff going on over here. And I said, well, I don't have much going on right now because they've shut down touring. But, you know, he decided, you know, he and I talked about it, and he started teaching me the restaurant business. So I would go, and I still do, even on days off from the tour, on weekends where I'm home, I'll go over to the Crazy Cajun here, you know, in East Texas, over in Tyler. And I will go in and I'll work, you know, a couple, three shifts a week if I'm off that weekend. And during that time, though, and I've been going back over there for 2 years now, but during 20, I spent a lot of time working on it. And by 21, I put my own all-purpose seasoning out on the market. It's called Happy Half Acre. And I refer to that as the, you know, the place where I live. You know, it's like, it's a little Happy Half Acre in, you know, in East Texas. And, but that's, you know, it's my place where I can, you know, I call it the Happy Half Acre because, you know, where, you know, whenever you're home, you get, have an opportunity to kind of reset and make sure you have a positive attitude about things. And, you know, it's just make it a positive experience when you're at home. And that gives you energy to go out and face the world the next day. But, you know, I call the seasoning Happy Half Acre all-purpose seasoning. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, people like it. You know, people have been able to order it. You know, if they want to order it, they can order it off of NolaCajun.com. And, you know, that's been working. I also take it to the live shows and sell it at the merch tables. You know, and also during the last year, I got a friend that runs a charitable foundation called the Walkway Foundation, WAKWAY Foundation, Walkway. And, you know, the Walkway Foundation, you know, partners with small farmers that run orchards up in the Pacific Northwest, up in Oregon. And, you know, I was approached about doing a jam. And so, you know, now there's this raspberry jalapeno, Cowboy Troy's raspberry jalapeno jam out in the market. Wow. And all the money that goes to all the money for the jam goes to help small farmers up in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. And it's a good tasting jam. People get it. And, you know, it's a really cool thing. And as a matter of fact, Roper and the Walkway Foundation worked with me on making sure that when I went and did my autograph signing over at CMA Fest, that they gave out a jam and photographs to all the people that wanted them while I was there. So it was, awesome. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I like to cook and I like to try different things because, you know, I enjoy writing, I enjoy performing, I enjoy cooking. And when I have an opportunity to do that, I like to, you know, take advantage of it, you know, in different, you know, because it's a different mindset for me. Each activity is a different mindset. It gives me an opportunity to express myself either through music, words, or food. So that's how I look at it.
That's wonderful. Now, speaking of being off and on the road, the only date I see on your website right now is August 4th through 6th at a festival. It's the way you're talking, it sounds like you got a lot more live shows coming up that maybe aren't on websites.
Yeah, there are. I know I got to go in and update my calendar. It's been a minute. I'm kind of juggling a bunch of different things. And, between being an artist, a songwriter, and cooking and also managing all of that, you know, I'm trying to manage my social media. I do all my own social media. So, you know, it's like I'm juggling a lot of different things. But, yeah, thank you for reminding me. I do need to update that calendar.
Well, I didn't mean it as a reminder. I just wanted to know where we could catch you. I didn't mean to call you out there.
I don't see it as being called out. It's just good that, you know, that you can help remind me about some things, because I know there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I can use a little reminder here and there.
I want to ask, since you're on the road a lot, do you still travel by bus? Is that still your primary travel, way that you prefer to travel, where you can kind of still cook and write and stuff?
Well, generally, if I'm out with Big and Rich, what I'll do is I'll fly to the first town on the gig, on that series of shows that week. I'll fly there and then meet up with Big and Rich, and then I'll ride the bus the remainder of that route for that weekend, and then I'll fly back home from the last stop. If it's solo gigs for me, generally what I do is, you know, my band, you know, I've got a group of cats that play for me when I do solo gigs, and they'll meet me in whatever city, and then I'll fly to the city, and then we'll do the stuff. We'll do the show, and then we're back out. But no, I don't travel by bus unless I'm with Big and Rich. You know, I'm one of those guys that I don't travel with buses as much, you know, unless it's with them.
Yeah. Well, either way, you're keeping it real with the music, and that's awesome.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. Music is fun. It's a lot of fun.
And we enjoy you. Cowboy Troy, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you all. I appreciate y'all having me.
Now, it's really interesting how his career came about and how he's still out there mm-hmm. trekking, and he's playing these shows, and every once in a while does them with John Rich and Big Kenny when they do Big and Rich and stuff. So it's really cool, his story.
Yeah, it's really, really neat, and I can't wait to see more from him. So thank you very much to our guest, Cowboy Troy. For the Music Universe Podcast, I'm Matt.
And I'm Buddy. Thanks for listening. And be sure to hit that like, subscribe, and share button. And follow us on socials at The Music Uni. Check us out at tmupod.com. And, of course, themusicuniverse.com. Take care.